Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today we're getting some excellent book recommendations from our resident book lover, Daniel Golden. He owns Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, and he's come up with a list of 28 books, I believe, to give us a range of opportunities and possibilities as gifts for the holiday season. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you as we go along today. What's your favorite book to give during the holidays? Where do you find reading recommendations? Is there a local author that you love to read? What was your favorite book of 2021? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Daniel Golden, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Oh, thank you, Larry. It's always an honor to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've given us a lot of good book recommendations. How do you know, or how do you go through this process? Do you pick the books you think will like the best, or do you pick based on what do you think they should be reading?
I don't. You know, I was going to say one from column A, one from column B. and, of course, I do sometimes try to vary. So there's going to be a book I like that I think, I don't know if it's right for this list. I don't think it's my place. There's so many pundits in the world who are telling people what they have to do. I don't think I ever tell somebody they have to read something. But I do try to vary it between things that I particularly like and things that I think the person who I'm talking to or the group of people I'm talking to might enjoy. So it's a communicative act.
So is there a difference between recommending a book to read, say, in the summer versus a book you might want to give as a gift?
Definitely, because for much of the year, most of the time we're talking to that end user. And so I think it tends to be, and I notice in our bestseller list, tends to be a little more fiction heavy, actually. But when it comes to gift giving, I think that's when the nonfiction business picks up. And partly that's because it's easier to match somebody's interest as opposed to fictional taste. Not to say if you tell me that somebody likes a particular novel or a particular author that we can't find somebody. But it's often easier for somebody to say, the person I have in mind likes basketball or likes cooking or likes art, you know, that's why I think nonfiction works so well then.
And books sales were great through the year. Boswell Book Company did pretty well too this year.
Yes, it has. I think there's, there's definitely been a tremendous uptick and in book reading on the pandemic. Not every bookstore, it really depended on how accessible the bookstore was, but now pretty much everybody's open. And I think there was a great thirst for browsing. So people really wanted to come into stores to look for things, but they're still ordering as well. And so I think that together is really helping. This season, if you've read some of the news, you've heard that both indies and Barnes & Noble and are all talking about very strong holiday weekends, post-Thanksgiving weekends. And we will see whether that's because the sales are going to increase in general or people are pushing their sales earlier because they're worried about books running out of stock or they have to mail them to people and they're worried about slowdowns there.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Well, you have 28 books on the list this year, I believe. And for listeners who want to see the full list, you can visit our website. You can go to WPR.org/Larry, go to today's date, and you'll see the whole list probably in our program notes. So I wanted to get that out there right away. And you probably have it up on your own website as well. I'm sure. But the first book on your list is a fiction book. It's called Cloud Cuckoo Land. What's that book about?
So one of the interesting things that is going on is there do seem to be people are feeling a little inundated by fiction. There's a lot of heavy hitters. Some people decided to postpone some big books from last year. But also I think, and we'll see this as we talk, that some people had extra time to write and maybe had a bonus book. So this is one of those long-awaited books, Cloud Cuckoo Lands by Anthony Doerr. It's the follow-up to All the Light We Cannot See, which came out in 2014. It was on bestseller list for probably 3 years running, won the Pulitzer Prize. It was set during World War II. And this is a bit of a different book, but it has some similarities. The book is set in three different time periods. The Siege of Constantinople, a contemporary story about a possible bombing at a library, and also a plot line set in the future on a rocket. And they are all connected. They're all connected by this Greek story called Cloud Cuckoo Land, which is one of those many, many stories that we know of, but we don't have a record of. And so this is how the story is saved in the siege and passed on. It's very much a celebration of libraries. Just like All the Light We Cannot See, it has very short, punchy chapters with lots of cliffhangers. And it's a great, I don't know why everybody isn't doing that. Thriller writers love to do this, very short chapters, if you read a lot of the most popular thriller writers. But the literary novelists they're not really into that, but they should be, because it really seems to hold attention and help these books cross over to a wider audience. The other thing that's really great about this book, it sounds complicated, but it isn't really that hard to follow. There's a lot of young narrators, so this book, it's also pretty tame in terms of language and violence, so it crosses over really well to teens. Which is something we're always looking for. I wouldn't be surprised if the book won an Alex Award. Mm. Also was shortlisted for the National Book Award. So it's got the chops, you know?
And I do like the punchy, you mentioned this punchy, short chapters with a cliffhanger at the end of the chapter, which just like forces you to go to the next chapter or two. And I agree with you. I don't know why it's not seen in other genres more.
And yes, in fact, you can find, we can come up with some examples of novels where the chapters, there are no chapter breaks, and it just goes on forever. I read some of those books too, but I do also love the idea when chapters are really short, you can break to do, you don't want to leave because of the cliffhanger, but if you have to do something, you know you're at least leaving at the end of the chapter.
Well, next up, by the way, if you want to join in this conversation, please feel free. If you got a recommendation of your own or a question about a gift book, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Next up is a book by Amor Towles, the author of The Gentleman in Moscow. That was, of course, a great book. And he released another one. Back in October, The Lincoln Highway. What about that? But is it like similar to A Gentleman in Moscow?
No, and yes. So there are similarities about it, but just like Cloud Cuckoo Land doesn't sound on the outside very similar. There are similarities. So. This book takes place in 1954, over 10 days, as opposed to 30 years in a hotel in Moscow. And unlike Gentleman, which doesn't have much variation of sets, I should say, this book is a road trip. So it's all over the place. It's about two brothers, Emmett and Billy. Emmett's been just released from a work farm. I guess you'd call it like a reform school. He's been accused of manslaughter, or I guess he it happened, so he's not just accused. And he's been released from this work farm, and his mother is left, and his father is dead, and he just has his brother, and they're going to go off to California to perhaps make their fortunes and maybe find their mom. But what they don't know is there's a twist. And I don't want to give away too many of the twists, right. But I'll just say there are, it's in all the copy. There's two more boys who've escaped from the work farm who are hidden in the truck, Willie and Duchess. And they have other plans, should I say. The way this is similar, the book winds up being, if I can just say, a hero's journey. But literally in that Billy has a book of heroes that he follows. And literally in that each kid, whether right or wrong, whatever their morality is following this moral quest. But the way it's most like General Moscow, it's very heavily plotted. Like Amortals is like the most obsessive plotter in the universe. And people really love that. People always ask, is this person a plotter? Is this a pantser? And most people are somewhat in between. And let me just say, when Tolles was writing this, he did change things a little. We heard there are more voices in the finished story than he originally imagined, but he knows everything that's going to happen. And that's really fun because the structural details of the book are just really add to the enjoyment.
Well, we've got another. We've got COVID. I guess you might call it a COVID book in Our Country Friends.
Yes, one of many, actually. I think we're going to see, at first the publishers said, I'm not really sure if we want to publish these COVID books. It's such a, this will be gone. Really, why would people care? And now, of course, this is here for the long haul, so to speak. And it's starting with the heavy hitters. The big names have COVID novels. Two that I didn't mention are Jodi Picoult's Wish You Were Here, which is on the bestseller list, and The Sentence by Louise Erdrich, both really wonderful writers. I've actually started both of them, but I didn't finish them, which is why they're not on the list. But I mentioned Our Country Friends, which came close to being on the New York Times top 10 of the year. It was Pamela Paul made it on their presentation and also enjoyed by the group. And this is basically like Chekhov, a contemporary version of Chekhov. So Sasha, who lives with Masha and Natasha in the Hudson Valley, as COVID is setting in, invites several of his friends to stay on their dacha, as we can say. And Gary Steingart is known for his satire about being an immigrant. And this story is very, very, very funny. I just want to say that Sasha is a terrible driver, but it's also, which is for some reason, some of the funniest parts of the book, but it's also a very warm story about friendship and very sad in some ways, as he invites these old friends, a writer that he's met and an actor who's working on an adaptation of one of his works, has been getting raves everywhere. Chris is one of my colleagues' favorite books of the year. So that's Our Country Friends.
Daniel Golden, author of Boswell Book Company, owner of Boswell Book Company. Well, he's kind of, you're the author of it too.
Who owns who?
Oh, man. Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee is his business. And I hope you'll join in with your questions. We have some calls coming in. What about you? Give a call 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Trina LaSousa, our engineer today, Mackenzie Crummy, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at great books for the holiday season, for gift giving, and just for giving maybe just to yourself to sit down and read, with Daniel Golden, who has a list of 28 books that he's going through with us now. And I hope you'll join in. Number to call 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear your stories and recommendations as well. Diane in Minnesota, let's go to you. Hi, Diane.
Hi, and thank you so much for taking my call. I have a recommendation for a book called The Advent Box by Shannon Taylor, who wrote this book while living in Prescott, Wisconsin. The primary or the main character is a tween age girl, but I've had men in their 50s and 60s read it and enjoy it. People of all ages, it could become an annual tradition to read it. And her journey from, and the magic that was created by an Advent box that she received.
And what was her name?
Her name is Shannon Taylor.
Okay.
And it's been described as sitting down with a warm cup of hot cocoa on a cold winter night. And, you know, it's a quick read. It's, you know.
Yeah. Well, is it one that you know about, Daniel?
I would say no. It came out about a couple years ago, but it is available to booksellers to order. So what I would suggest, if they don't have it in stock, usually most bookstores have to sell a couple copies a year to keep something around. Sometimes it gets a little harder even when it's Christmas. But the book is available at what we call trade terms and returnable. So you can go to whatever your favorite independent bookstore is in Wisconsin or otherwise, or Minnesota. I could list some, or you can find it on the the ABA website, indiebound.com, I think, and get a copy if you want to get it a different way than the easy click way. So go in and browse and say, while I'm here, I need to tell you about the Advent Box. I'd really love to get a copy of that. They might have you pay in advance, but you want it, so you should just get it.
There you go. Diane, thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go to John in Galena, Illinois. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, Larry and Daniel. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I've got a book by Heather Swan. It's called Where Honeybees Thrive, and I'm going to be giving two of them out as gifts to my neighbors.
I tell you what, that, and I believe that's on the list.
Oh no, I have a different honey book, but
this is
a book from that's about 4 years old from Penn State University Press, and is this really Heather? No, here it is. Where Honeybees Thrive by Heather Swan. So it's a little technical. So it might not work for everybody, but it's going to work for John's friends. I do have a book that I really love about bees. It's a fiction book called The Music of Bees by Eileen Garvin. What I love about that book is that it was recommended to me by my friends at Books & Company in Oconomowoc. They've been selling it like crazy. And we do all talk to each other. It's about, and I think, Larry, you might enjoy this book.
Yeah.
It's about a middle-aged woman who is lost her husband and is estranged from her in-laws. She's in a dead-end job, and she is in the county, and she's keeping bees on the side and winds up hiring these two struggling kids, one of whom is in a wheelchair and has the tallest mohawk in Oregon, and the other one is just been let out of prison for being an accessory to a crime. And they're all struggling. They're fighting, you know, estranged from their families, and they find each other. And there's a lot of technical things about raising bees in it. And of course, it's an environmental novel because, of course, something's happening to the bee colonies and they are dying. And so we find out what that is. It's very heartfelt. J. Ryan Stradel is a good comparison, or The Secret Life of Bees, Sue Monk Kidd. I have to say, we've been getting a lot of great feedback on the book. It's not funny so much as a lot of books that I personally recommend, but warm is a good emotion too. I like a little heartfelt.
Okay. And John, thank you so much for your suggestion as well. Let's see. Let's take another call. Chris in Adams will go to you now. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I'm waiting with bated breath for this book to arrive, probably today in the mail. Anita Hill has, this is nonfiction, Anita Hill has a new book out. It's called Believing, And if anybody wants to get the inside skivvy on what really happened in that one of the most contentious and important confirmation histories in the history of the Senate, buy it and read it.
Anita Hill, Believing. Have you had a chance to see a preview copy of that one?
No. One of the interesting things is that we have the book in our – the book's out. So we have the book in our store, as do many bookstores. But they don't – the publishers are never – we don't get too many preview copies of serious politics and history. I sometimes complain about this, that there's – you know, they don't really always feel like – I mean, part of it is I don't feel like they need us, though, so we get a lot of fiction and memoirs, and we have to find the other books on our own. And they usually use save a book like Anita Hill's book for maybe reviewers and newsmakers like yourself. I'm sure the WPR offices have at least one copy, if not two, floating around.
There's a mountain of books at WPR.
I've seen it. I had to move out of the way or it would fall on me back in the day.
Oh, man. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it very much. What about you? Join in 800-642-1234. Give a call or email to ideas@WPR.org. Nancy in Star Prairie. Let's go to you now. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. I just happened to turn on the radio and I heard an author from Wisconsin, and I have a book to suggest. The author is Mike Perry, and he is, I believe he's living up here in northern Wisconsin, and one of the books he has written is called The Jesus Cow, and it's not sacrilegious, but it is a story of a farmer who happens to go out to the barn on Christmas Eve, and one of his newborn calves seems to have the image of Jesus on his side. So the farmer gets some shoe polish and tries to block it out because he doesn't think people should know about this. But the word gets out in the community about this special calf and how the community changes from a little town into a really busier town and all the characters. And it's just a real... it's a funny book, and it kind of makes you stop and think about how our little towns become big towns.
No. Well, I'm pretty sure that you know about that book, Michael. That's been out a while.
Read it and love it. Michael Perry is one of my favorites, and that's his only novel he's ever written for adults that's been published. There might be another one. But I really love that book. It has a very... it is a funny book, and it also has a warmness and also a wonderful philosophical element to it. Always looking forward to his, and of course, he's so popular in Wisconsin. Yeah, he still lives outside of Eau Claire, and just as I'm sure Larry can attest, just the nicest guy
you
ever meet. Love his music, love everything. I would say the slot for him this year is definitely that Charlie Behrens Midwest Survival Guide. That's the book that is going crazy. And it's not exactly Perry's, it's not the same voice, but it's that same sort of Midwest pride. Behrens tried to go a little beyond Wisconsin. So there's things everywhere from Ohio to Missouri to to certainly Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio, but it's hard to get your hands on it. We our buyer loves the Manitowoc Minute, and he knew what was going on, and we still ran out of it right away, as did my friends at Books and Company. He's got big shows all over the state, and it's funny, and it's that Michael Perry kind of.
Yeah, it is indeed. And Nancy, thank you so much again. Appreciate it. And let's go to Cindy in Viroqua. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I didn't know if you were doing children's books, but I have one that was written by this guy is actually from Minnesota originally, but he went to school at UW-Madison. And happened to marry my daughter. He wrote a beautiful, beautiful book called The World We Choose. And the illustrator is Melissa Favorite. It's just a beautiful book about you know, children watching the news and seeing all this bad stuff, and how this little girl, the illustrator, you know, shows this little girl and how people are choosing to do good things. And it's just, it's inspirational. It's just beautifully written, beautifully done. You can actually purchase this book on Amazon. Beavers Pond Press, I think, St. Paul, Minnesota, is the, I believe, the press who wrote this or who published it. But he's in the process of writing a couple more books, but it's just absolutely beautiful, beautifully done. And it's a story about a little girl that just...
Yeah, and the title again?
It's called The World We Choose.
The World We Choose.
I will tell you the good news is that your independent bookstore can also order the book in. It's going to take a little longer because it's only at one warehouse. So you want to, if you decide that you want to get that book, you would want to order it from them right now, because we do at least for the moment, we love our independent bookstores while we're talking with Daniel. So I will say a book that reminds me of that is a book called Change Sings, the picture book that I really like by Amanda Gorman, who is the Young People's Poet Laureate and did the, she's not the current one, she's former, and did the poem that was recited at Biden's inauguration. That is not this book. Her new collection of poetry actually comes out tomorrow. This is a picture book illustrated by Lauren Long, which is about a young woman, a young girl who plays an instrument and decides to do to parade around town doing good deeds for other people. And as she travels, more and more kids of all different colors and ethnicities and abilities join in, where they help with building homes and food banks and all kinds of wonderful things. It's a very inspirational book, and Lauren Long's a terrific illustrator, filled with vibrant color and enthusiasm. And so if we're looking for that sort of inspirational, uplifting story, I think that's my equivalent.
Okay. And let's take another children's book as long as we're there. Clarice the Brave, excuse me.
She wishes she was a beaver, but she's just a mouse. So that's my middle grade pick. I don't read too much in the young adult world. I don't know what it is about the angstiness. I have lots of other booksellers I work with who read a lot of YA. But I do love the middle grade. That's like around the 7, 8 to about 12. And I've read a lot this year, but this is one of my favorites. So Lisa McMahon wrote a book called The Unwanteds that I really liked. That was kind of Harry Potter-ish and had 13 sequels. So I said, I'm not reading all 14 books, but I hope one day you read a book that I don't have to read the sequels to. And this is it. It's kind of inspired by Mutiny on the Bounty, of all things. It's about two mice on a ship that has a mutiny, and the two mice who are siblings are separated. One goes overboard with the box they're in, with the captain being sent off possibly to his doom and the other being left behind. So it becomes a quest novel for them to see if they can reunite. There is a secret plot going on, and each mouse has to survive, has to befriend a creature that they wouldn't normally. In one case, a little girl, Benjaloon, and the other case, the cat that ate their sibling, Special Lady. The language is really wonderful. I love a recurring line that happens, that is said several times. You only need one mouse to believe in you, and that one mouse is me. So kind of an old-fashioned story with a modern twist. The ship is not all male, and it's not all, you know, it's people from different parts of the world too. So just a lovely story. We've had another read in our store that was equally delighted with it.
Clarice the Brave by Lisa McMahon. That sounds great. We have a number of people here with comments or questions. Helen from Washburn called, but she couldn't stay online, and wondering if there are any new mystery books from authors in Minnesota, Wisconsin, or Scandinavia.
Well, the first person that, of course, comes to mind is probably not a secret, It's William Kent Krueger. He has both a series and standalones, but his new book is called Lightning Strike. It came out in August, and it's from the Cork O'Connor series. What's so interesting about, and it's about a detective sheriff in a small town, Minnesota. What's so interesting about Krueger is that his two most popular books have been standalones, very nostalgic, kind of sort of mystery, sort of not. One called Ordinary Grace and one called This Tender Land. And they have definitely been in general more popular, certainly in terms of backlisting, like 2 or 3 years later, than his mystery series. And this has actually helped propel his mystery series. Now, the first book in the series is Iron Lake. But one of the things about problems about a long series is that it's really hard to say to somebody, go read number 7 if they haven't read 1 through 6. But the beauty of Lightning Strike is this is a very popular device for mystery writers. It's a second entry point in the series. It takes place when Cork O'Connor is a kid. And so not only is it a nice place to start because you don't have to worry about what happened before, but because This Tender Land and Ordinary Grace are also stories that feature kids, it has a lot of resonance for people who like those standalone books. So that's it's a very Minnesota book. Now I will say, we read a lot of Minnesota and Wisconsin stories. I have a bookseller, Tim, who writes a recurring blog where he only reviews books set in Minnesota. We don't know why. Just because it's that sort of place. I would say it's not exactly a mystery, but the big Wisconsin sort of adventure thriller novel is a book called Raft of Stars, by which probably, Larry, if you don't, you probably know, so I'm repeating things, but it's Andrew Graff, and he doesn't live in Wisconsin now. He lives in Ohio where he's teaching, but he definitely has Wisconsin roots, and he was traveling back and forth through the state several times, going to festivals and things. It's been a very big success. People love that
book. Yeah, I liked it. It was a fun book to read for sure. Kate in Dubuque, Iowa. Let's go to you now. Hi, Kate.
Yes, good morning, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to recommend a book, Jim Bridger, Trailblazer of the American West. And it's by author Jerome Ensler. And I think both you and Daniel are acquainted with him. He appeared with Doug Brinkley on a Zoom out of Daniel's bookstore. And Larry, he was on your show a few years ago as the creator of the National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium. So, you'd think it unlikely he would write a book about a Western hero, but in fact he did. Jim Bridger originally was proposed to be on Mount Rushmore before they decided to put all those presidents up there. And he stands the longest lifetime of anyone for trailblazing the West. He was a fur trapper. He was an Army scout. He also was very tuned in with Native American cultures and often tried to warn the Army, et cetera, not to interfere. I think one of the things I like best about the book is that for as much history as it has, it's incredibly readable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim Bridger. And he, of course, appeared in many a TV show and movie over the years, probably with not very accurately portrayed sometimes. But what about this book, Daniel?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Finally, Jim Bridger gets his moment in the sun. So thanks to Jerry. Thanks to Jerry for that.
Oh, thank you, Kate. Appreciate it very much. Jerry from Unalaska called, couldn't stay with us. He's looking for books about people coming out of LGBTQ situations or coming out as. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was not the right way to put that at all. coming out as LGBTQ.
I actually have a few recommendations from that. A really lovely, and I'm not sure, you know, that can mean so many things nowadays. A really funny book that I know actually did very well in independent bookstores was called The Gunkle by Stephen Rowley. It is actually sort of an update of Auntie Maine, that famous story. People who know a little background about Patrick Dennis, the writer, he lived a double life. So this is about a gay man in Palm Springs who, after the death of his sister, takes his niece and nephew on for the summer and sort of gives them an education. And it is a comic novel, very charming. And like I said, it's been hand-sold by a lot of booksellers. So that's one book that I would say.
And the title again, give me the title of that again.
It's called The Dunkle. That stands for Gay Uncle.
The Dunkle. Okay.
And then I just want to mention and just go a little more interestingly afield, a book that I haven't read yet, but we're doing for our book club in early next year. I know I follow the Larry Mueller book club, so I know that we're into book clubs here. It's called Detransition Baby by Tori Peters, and it's said to be the first, one of the first major novels from a publisher dealing with trans characters. And it is very much, as you know, a theme that I like a lot, found family. And it is about a group of trans and characters and forming a family. It's gotten really wonderful reviews. It's actually one of the better reviewed books of the year, did very well at Boswell and a lot of other independent bookstores too. So those are two suggestions from me.
Daniel Golden, our guest from Boswell Book Company. Questions or suggestions, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org. Larry Mueller here. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about books for giving. And when I think about it, I give myself books a lot, too. So the giving could be for yourself, but could be for other people as well. Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, our guest. It's always such a treat to have him come by. As a matter of fact, Louisa emailed to say that she loves this program that we do with you, Daniel. And she said, Daniel is such a leader. His presence at the store is always personable, and his knowledge is uplifting. I'll second that motion.
I am not worthy, but thank you. I'll try to keep doing a good job.
I'm glad you wrote, Louisa. Thank you so much for that. Let's see. We've got Nancy in Milwaukee with something.
Oh, I'm so happy to let you know about another book about this wonderful writer, Dürer, who wrote Cloudland, Cuckoo Land, whatever. This was an earlier book that he wrote when he received, without even applying for it, a tremendous grant from a foundation which allowed he and his wife and his two twin boys to go to Italy and live for a year. This is a short book about his thoughts about living in this rather unusual place in Rome and their lives there for that year with their twin babies. This a lot of the book has to do with his thoughts in his studio as he sat and wrote about the past lives of wonderful Italian people who were so accomplished in art and architecture and music. It is just a wonderful, wonderful book. I can't think of the name of it, but Daniel can quickly look that up. It's by the author Dürer. It is such fantastic reading, and it absolutely should be read by anybody who wants to visit Italy or go there to live, because after reading it,
it's Four Seasons in Rome is the book.
So. Yeah.
And yes, I mean, pretty much anything Dürer wants to write is good. You know, he won awards for his short story collections, too. He just doesn't write fast enough for our taste.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did say that authors were churning out a little more frequently in this COVID period.
You know, that's true. And so I did, you know, when we were talking about the other COVID books, Wish You Were Here, the Jodi Picoult and The Sentence by Lee Zurdich. I think they're both kind of bonus books. Jodi Picoult's is about being stranded in the Galapagos during COVID. And Lee Zurdich's is about a bookstore, actually Birch Bark, the actual bookstore in Minneapolis that she owns. And it's told from the voice of a bookseller who is sort of had a sort of a ex-con, I guess you could call her, who is haunted by a pestering ghost. She's not the only, there are not the only characters in the book. That's sort of the setup. I bought my copy of The Sentence, but I haven't finished it yet. I just finished Night Watchman, her book that won the Pulitzer Prize, because this is the time of year when all the prize winners take off and the top tens of the year happen. And what's been really interesting for me about that is that there's very little consensus. The books that are winning the prizes are not in the top tens. You take the top 10 of the year for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal, all wonderful lists. Only one book is on two of the lists. Wall Street Journal, no overlap at all. One book, which is the Love Songs of W.E.B. Du Bois by Honoré Fanon Jeffers, which is, let me just say, I haven't finished that one yet either because it's 800 pages. But I am so excited. It's a really amazing book told to the voice of one woman growing up, a family drama that then calls on the ghosts, the different people in our family, both alive and dead, as they've dealt with racial trauma, being enslaved, Creek ancestry, so indigenous stories, and actually being the descendant of Scott's slave owners as well. I've been recommending, it hasn't even come out in paperback yet. Our book club recommendations are often for paperback, but it's the perfect book to read. A lot of book clubs give like a break. So they read every month and then they either don't meet in the summer or they don't meet in the winter. And this is the perfect book to read after your break because you're going to want to read it, but you need a lot of time.
All right. And that's on the list. That's on one of your 28 books.
Check.
So there we go. Linda in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Well, hi, Larry. Hi, Daniel. I couldn't let this show go before calling you and filling people in on four books that are so highly recommended. There is a warning, though. You will not do the dishes, the cleaning the house. You won't do the laundry because you'll be so engrossed in these four books that everything else will happen and you won't even care. The author is J.F. Riordan, and the last name is R-I-O-R-D as in dog, A-N. And the four books are North of the Tension Line. Second one is Audacity of Goats. The third one, Robert's Rules, which, Larry, a number of years ago, Robert's Rules was read on one of NPR's shows.
And Chapter then, a Day.
Yes, Chapter a Day. And the most recent one, A Small Earnest Question, that came out, I want to say maybe this year or last year, I can't remember. But, oh, my God, they're about this Door County and Washington Island and the lives of the people that live there. And it is just, all four are fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for that suggestion, Linda. And comments from...
For some reason, I was good. I don't mean to, but it's like... Didn't she ever appear on your show? I feel like she might have. I feel like I'm archiving my brain. Was it there? I have a bit of a wonderful. I love books set in Wisconsin, and people do really love Washington Island. I was just trying to think of this is not my suggestion to go with it, but I was just thinking and. that book, if we ever talk about Gastro Obscura, I will just mention, which is like the Astro Atlas Obscura for food. Their only entry for Wisconsin is on Washington Island, the bar that specializes in bitters. So that'll probably show up in the next episode of the Reardon series. I would say the closest thing I'm recommending to it is this book that's been really popular with booksellers and has sort of a quirky charm, not unlike the series Mary Jane by Jessica Anya Blau. It takes place in the 1970s Baltimore, and it's about a young girl, 14 years old, who goes to nanny for the neighbors, he's a doctor, and her parents, very conservative. It's in Roland Park, which a lot of people know is where most of the Ann Tyler books take place. It's a bit of an homage to Ann Tyler. What most people don't know about Roland Park, and what Ann Tyler doesn't talk about too much, is that until the 1970s, it was a restricted neighborhood, so no Blacks, no Jews. And this is in the 70s, so this is a Jewish family. Not only they're Jewish, but he's a psychiatrist, and they're also very liberal. And not only that, but he's hiding a rock star that he's treating for an addiction along with the rock star's actress husband. So the actress who is the husband of the rock star. And I just want to say that the little girl, she's 14. She's not a little girl. She's a teenager, but she doesn't tell her parents. She hides it from them and has a sort of coming of age moment. It sounds like a sex, drugs, and rock and roll book, but it isn't. It's very sweet. And the fact is, it's kind of like a Snow White story, because as she's learning the ways of the world outside her family, she is sort of domesticating all these crazy people around her, because they just don't know how to cook, for one thing. So it's a super charming story. I can't tell you how many people have come back. I told you last time we were talking, I was telling you about people who come back and tell me how much they like Leonard and Hungry Paul. And by the way, they still do. They're still selling it really well. But this is my Leonard. It's the book that I've just had enough people, you know, like, you're all test markets for me. And when seeing different kinds of people come back and say they really like a book, I start telling other people that other people like the book. That makes sense. So
it does make sense. And let's go to Leslie and Eau Claire next. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering if your guest has read or heard of the book called Land by Simon Winchester, How the Hunger for Ownership Shaped the Modern World.
Oh my God, I've actually read it. and I could say, you know, like a big fat geography, geology, history representation is not normally you'd say, oh, Daniel's probably read that, but I do really love Simon Winchester, and he really loves the American Geographical Society Library, where he actually did some of the research for this book. He was helped by the librarian there, which was so cool that I decided to read the book. I really enjoyed it as well.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Appreciate it. We've been getting a number of people asking, or at least some people asking about the author Tim Cahill.
That's an interesting...
He's a Minnesota guy, I believe.
Yeah.
I've interviewed him.
Oh, there you go. And he like sort of writes travel lit, right? Would you say?
No.
Let me see. Because all the Tim Cahill books that I can come up with. So tell me one of the books he wrote. Because I'm obviously hitting a wall like on... And like Tales from Nowhere, edited by Tim Cahill, Pecked to Death by Ducks.
Trying to remember the title of the, and I may be confusing him with someone else from Minnesota. There's another, because I was thinking he was a mystery writer, but no.
So many nice people in Minnesota, though. It's easy to confuse them.
How many books do you read in a year?
Well, that's funny you should say that, because of course I obsessively detail these things. And I actually just went back. I've been writing down every book I read since 1983. And it really upsets me that I didn't do it earlier. I was so upset with myself. And now I was like, oh, that's about 40 years of books. So I'm reading more now, and I'm not doing as good a job on work. So I read about 100 books a year. So
yeah, so
that's
you
finished. That doesn't count if you read, because I read a lot of books like 25, 50 pages, and I go, I don't like it, or I don't know what I can do. Like, it's not going to help this book by me reading it. So, you know what? I know that's a lot, but it is work. I would say if I wasn't working in a bookstore, I don't think I'd read quite as many, but I'm not sure. Maybe they're playing more solitaire.
You know, Cahill is, and I'm here, I'm looking forward to, he was an outdoor writer, did adventure writing, and helped launch Outsider Magazine, Outside Magazine.
Okay. So what are we thinking? So Outside Magazine, Cahill. Let's see. I got Tim Cahill, Outsider Archives. You know, I think what we're doing is, like, I think we're coming at this from two different directions. So I think you see him more of a nature writer, and I'm seeing him more as travel, because he went places to write about the nature.
Yes, there we go. Well, I'm in that. I'm in that same book, and I'm in that 75 to 100 book range myself, because we have so many authors, and then there are a lot of books that I just read for the fun of it, which I'm after our news break, I wanted to at least mention the Midnight Library, Matt Haig's book, which I just finished, and I liked it. It's won some awards, and we'll find out about some more books from Daniel Golden right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about books that make great gifts with our guest, Daniel Golden. Always great to have him stop by. He's the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. And he gave us a list of 28 books that you might consider giving for the holidays. You have a book you read each year during the holidays? What's your favorite book of 2021? Join in at 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And just before we broke for news, Daniel, I mentioned Matt Haig's book, The Midnight Library, and it's got on my mind because it's a book I purchased quite a while back, and then it sat there because I had so many other books to read for the show, and I finally got a chance to read it and enjoyed it very much. Did you like it?
Yes, it is one of the sleeper books of the year. It came out last fall. I had read it because I had really liked his previous novel, How to Stop Time, so which did okay, but it didn't do what this book's been on and off the bestseller list for a full year. I think people are just really captivated by the heroine and by the multiverse kind of aspect of this library where you can live different lives. It has just been a phenomenon, and it's so interesting. I think also people really like the philosophy that's baked into the story about what we can change and what we can't. I will tell you that How to Stop Time is another terrific book. So many of his books sort of confront mm-hmm. a question of mortality and also time mindfulness in different ways. So in Midnight Library, she's living these kind of parallel lives that could end or never end. And in many of his other books, he's confronted with characters that for one reason or another are either eternal or immortal or have very long lives. So in How to Stop Time, the people have a genetic disorder that causes them to live like 800 to 1,000 years, but they have to keep it a secret or they would be dissected in labs. So they change identities every 20 years. Another one of his books that's really been very popular that just got reissued is called The Humans, which is about an alien who is also immortal, who visits Earth to find out about it. But they all sort of dance around similar questions. And a lot of it has to do with Matt Haig's own journey. He was beset by serious depression, and actually one of his most popular books in Britain was actually his nonfiction memoir. And Yeah, I mean, isn't it interesting how that book just captivated you?
Yes. I was, and it was so interesting. You know, here's the chance to live the life, one of the other lives that you might have lived. And they don't always turn out the way that you
know. We think about those decisions in our lives and think if we'd only done something different. And I love the way this book kind of spells out to you is don't think that if you'd made that decision, things would have actually come out the way you wanted them to.
Let's take another call. John in Lake Mills, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi. I just finished a book by William Kent Krieger. It's fiction, been around a long time. It's known as the Cork O'Connor series. And he just released the most recent book about that. It's actually a prequel. There's about 18 books. This one is called Lightning Strike, and it traces the childhood of the hero that's later on in the series. And it's one of these things, whoever I recommend these books to wants to read them all. And so if anybody picks up a Krieger book with the Cork O'Connor series, they'll want to start from the
beginning.
Because it's, chronological. But he's got an he's got some standalone about one with the Indian boarding schools, and another one called Ordinary Grace. They're standalone from the Cork O'Connor series, but I'm talking kind of fast. I'm sorry.
That's
I'm driving. But William Kent Krieger, the latest is Lightning Strike, which is the prequel. So people could read that one first and then start with
the rest of it
by Krieger. Yeah, right.
This is one of the issues when people tune in and tune out. I hope we'll get a few. We do love Kent. So any recommendation he can get is okay by me, even if he gets multiple in an hour.
There you go. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Oh, and speaking of that, Shirley from Watertown wondered about the, didn't get the name of the book from the Minnesota caller. The caller said it was a good fireside book, and I think that was probably The Advent Box.
That's right.
By Shannon Taylor, The Advent Box. So there you go, Shirley. You can join in to 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's see. Did we talk about Clark and Division? I don't think we did yet.
No, this was my mystery pick. And also, it's a great historical novel. Naomi Hirahara has won an Edgar Award for a book and series. This seems to be either the standalone. I think it's a standalone. I don't think it's the first in a series. But it is published by Soho under their mystery imprint. It takes place in the 1930s, 1930s, 40s. During the Japanese internment in California. And what happens is this family is interned, and when they leave, they're sent to Chicago. A lot of folks don't know that over 10,000 Japanese people were relocated to Chicago. And we don't see much of there's not a Japantown like there is in the West Coast. There was an attempt to sort of play it down. But if you walk around there, I've walked through all the neighborhoods of this book, you can see plaques and things. And so what happens is the older sister is sent on ahead, and the parents and the younger sister follow. But when they arrive in Chicago, the oldest sister is dead, and they're told it's a suicide, but the younger sister decides that it's, or thinks that it might be murder. And so she decides to follow what happened to the girl. Wonderful detail of Chicago, lots of historical research, including the younger sister gets a job at the Newbery Library, and there was actually a Japanese American who had actually worked at the Newbery, who had had a similar trajectory. And I really liked the mystery's a little soft, I would say, compared to some. It isn't really It's neither a kind of a locked room, nor is it a big chase book or something like that. But I enjoyed the book a lot.
What about, you know, sometimes a title will just catch me and I'll say, gosh, should I read this? I think I'll read this. It sounds interesting. And when I haven't read, but the title caught me, was Razorblade Tears.
Ah, yes. And it's also a thriller. And I know you like thrillers. Yeah. So S.A. Cosby, this is his third book. This was my thriller pick. His second with a large publisher. It is basically his first New York Times bestseller. So it is the story of two very, very different men, one black, one white. And they are brought together when their sons, who are in a couple together, are viciously murdered. And they wind up coming together to try to avenge their kids' death. They're both not really too comfortable with their sons' lives. I love the way the book is very funny. The book is very violent. he had a book last year, Blacktop Wasteland, which is more of a caper novel. And this is, like I said, more of a revenge novel. It does deal with racial issues as well. And one of the things that was really fun about the book for me is it plays on the buddy comedies of the 1970s, 80s. So the Buddy Lee, who is the white guy, actually takes the role of the Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock kind of ne'er-do-well wise guy. And Ike is more of the black guy is more of the straight-laced guy in the book. They're both ex-cons, though, so they both have passed. Book has gotten some really great reviews. It's showing up on a lot of best of lists.
Well, let's see. I want to get through some more of your books as well. Well, anyone who has watched the sitcom Schitt's Creek is going to love your next book selection, I think, which is Best Wishes, Warmest Regards.
You know, there's so many pop culture books. Like anything that has any sort of popularity will have at least one book from it. And I'm well aware of that. It's just that I know people who just seem, you know, it did sweep television awards for its last season. And I know people who just watch this series over and over and over again. It's a gift book. It was put together by, it is authorized. It's actually put together by Dan and Eugene Levy, the father and son creator of the series. And it is a pretty reasonably priced. It's got every episode. It's packed with photos. And not only does it have like descriptions of the episodes and how the show got made and what decisions they made and what changed, but it's also got things like a visual history of every sweater that David wore. Most importantly, every wig that Moira wore, every song the Jazzagals sang. It is also, in terms of trends, one of the things I say, and this is true about a lot of the books in here, is that for gift books, there are no more jackets on the books. They're all unjacketed hardcovers. And the problem with that is you have to be careful or those corners bang. So I'm just like, treat all these unjacketed hardcovers particularly carefully, just because, my goodness, in the bookstore, I look and go, oh, another bang. The Midwest Survival Guide's going to have that problem. The new Wisconsin Supper Club's book, all of them, bang, bang, bang. So they're still perfectly fine books once you have them. But when you're giving them as a gift, you want to be careful.
Yeah. Why have those gone away? Is it just cost?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I feel like, it's interesting, but it's just like, I think that there's something that makes them look modern too. But because in the old days, when you took off the jacket from a gift book, they still had that unjacketed. It wasn't just a plain like leather-like bound binding. It would look like the cover of the book underneath. So I think it's cost. Nobody's told me though, Larry. Confirm. This is just a guess.
A listener emailed to recommend the Happiness Playlist by Mark Malman. True story about Minneapolis musician Mark Malman woke up at 3 with a panic attack that wouldn't end. He responded by pouring songs into a happiness playlist. and leaning on the wisdom of friends.
From Think Peace Publishing. You have a lot of listeners in the Twin Cities, don't you? In Minnesota.
Yeah.
Mark Mulman's true panic attack that would never end. I don't know it, but it sounds interesting. I mean, the big, in terms of music, there's a lot of heavy hitters this year. It's a Beatles year. It's like Mark, like you tell me music and I say, oh, and there's Beatles books. The Paul McCartney's lyrics book is $100 box set, and it's probably discounted in different places. It is the officially the Barnes & Noble book of the year. I've actually never seen it because all our copies are shrink wrapped in the box. So I hear it's good, but I have no idea. I'm certainly not saying anything negative about Beatles lyrics because I'm for them. And also there's the other big Beatles gift book is based on the documentary Get Back that just came out. That one's a bargain at $60. So that's my music for you.
Well, let's see. Have we talked? We have not talked about the anomaly, have we?
No. And I was thinking about this when we were talking about Midnight Library. I'm like, what direction should I go? Because it's got this speculative twist that is sort of ties into people who like the multiverse. It's a really interesting book. It's a paperback original published by the independent Other Press, but it's distributed by Penguin Random House, so it's got good distribution. Herve Letellier, and I pronounce everything in French wrong, won the Prix Goncourt, which is the biggest of all the French prizes, which is crazy because it's a thriller. But the book has been a huge bestseller in France, and our buyer Jason read it really early. Our sales rep Jason, another Jason, all the Jasons got together and decided this was going to be hit. And so a lot of booksellers have read this. So it's about it. It follows a person after person, a rap singer, a contract killer, an author, and we don't know what they have in common, but they're all at life crises. And what we find out is they were all on the same transatlantic flight. And then something happens with that flight that changes everything, has a speculative twist. It is the kind of book that is speculative, but does, like Midnight Library, doesn't need, you don't need to be heavily into genre. Like you don't need to be one of those people who just finished the 9 volumes of The Expanse, the James S.A. Corey, that's all my booksellers can talk about in terms of science fiction. Because that, you know, it's definitely a crossover.
All right. Well, it sounds like one that I would like.
I think you should get.
Owen emailed to recommend a book by David Rhodes.
David Rhodes.
Driftless, Jewelweed. He wrote Driftless. He wrote Jewelweed.
That's it for his more recent books. He had, you know, he had been published when he was really young, and then had an accident, was confined to a wheelchair, and the way Driftless came about is that an editor read one of his older books and loved it and asked him if he had found him and asked if he had something else. And that's how he published Driftless. He was living in Wisconsin for a long time, but I'm pretty sure he moved back to Iowa now. What, do you know anything more, Larry?
No, I don't. I don't really.
Wonderful guy.
Claire Keegan. Small Things.
Yes, I was going to, I don't think it really had much of interest to the person who recommended the Advent Box, but it is, but I thought, well, that's close. It's a Christmas story. It's very short. It's not for kids. It's for adults. So beautiful, Larry. It is set in the 1980s, and it's about a struggling, it's before the Irish Miracle, so it's a struggling town outside Dublin that's losing jobs and a lot of struggles. And this middle-aged guy who runs this coal business, he has 5 kids, he's happily married, he's good to his staff, but he has a there but for the grace of God go I feeling about it. His mom was a single mom and was taken in by this Protestant woman, which is a big deal if you're in Dublin. And he's never forgotten it. So when he's doing a delivery and he goes to a convent and he sees these young women sort of almost locked in the convent, working, scrubbing floors very hard, he has to make a moral decision about what to do. Claire Keegan is, this book has been a huge success in Great Britain. She's a playwright and 10 years in the making, and it's a little over 100 pages. So what is that, 10 pages a year? But yeah. every word is worth it. So beautiful. It's the number one Indie Next book, which is Booksellers Vote On for December. And it is a wonderful Christmas present.
Small Things Like These is the title of that book. I don't know if I got it all.
You got it all. And if people know the Magdalen Laundries of Ireland, this is book is based on that. So,
nature books, anything? I mean, I think you had a nature book on there that we...
I did. I was thinking of that when we were talking about Tim Cahill, who may be a nature writer, maybe a travel writer, but is actually both. He is the, what is it, certs? Was it the breath mint? The two things in one. So I was thinking of Mary Roach. Have you ever read Mary Roach? I think you'd like her. So she's written Grunt and Boink and Gulp. And she writes these very funny, but very accurate science novels, science nonfiction books. But in this book is almost more of a nature book. It's I think the subtitle is When Animals Break the Law. And she fortunately was able to travel all over the world in 2019 and talk to people about bears who trespass and deer who jaywalk and monkeys who in India can pretty much do anything. So don't get hit by a flying apple or something there. And she's got a wonderful voice. She's so funny, but it's all really grounded in factual information. And they're delightful. This was the first, we got one of the great things about Virtual World is that we get to talk to people we'd never talked to before. So we had an event with the local Schlitz Audubon Nature Center we love. And what a terrific time we had. And you can read them all. They're all interesting. So
I liked Merlin Sheldrake's book, Entangled Life, as a nature book on fungi. That was really entertaining.
I heard it's terrific. And it actually, it's like you're following along with us. Do you know that book was on our, that was actually on our bestseller list last week.
Yeah.
They're like, everybody was thinking, what would Larry buy? Let's go buy that Entangled Life. I was looking at the book, a beautiful cover too. And I was like, I want to read that. I like mushrooms.
It's an amazing book. I interviewed him on the show and he was a fun guy to interview. Just like you are a fun person to talk with. And our time has run out. The list, the 28 book list that Daniel's put together is on our site. Go to WPR.org/Larry. Go to today's date and look under program notes and you'll find it. Daniel, it's always such a great pleasure. Thank you. And I'll look forward to our next visit. Thanks.
Oh, so will I. Thank you very much.
Daniel Golden. Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee is the company, the bookstore that he owns. And he's a delightful, delightful person. It's great to have him with us, and he'll be back. We'll do it again. Tomorrow we talk with UW women's basketball coach Marissa Mosley on the show. Then we'll look at the talk with the author of a book called The Forgotten First, about four black athletes, football players, and the racism they experience. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.